We're in Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Zayin. Says the Mishnah, Hey Echad Yisrael of Echad Kohen. So now we're talking over here again about our case of a woman who does not wait the proper 3 months in between husbands. The first husband was a Yisrael and the second husband was a Kohen. So the son now is a Safek whether he's a Kohen or a Yisrael. Says the Mishnah, the following dinim related to that child. No se isha ru'uya la kohen. Number one, he has to marry a woman who's fit for a kohen, because safek, maybe he's a kohen. Ve'eno mitma le meisim. He's not allowed to become impure for the dead, because maybe he's a kohen. Ve'im nitma eino safek as arbaim. But if he does transgress and become impure for the dead, he will not get whipped, because that biblical punishment of whips, he can always say, I'm not a kohen. Ve'enu ochel b'truma, he can't eat truma because over here perhaps he's not a kohen. Im achal enu mishalim kerem b'chomesh. It's exactly like we saw in the previous Mishnah. If he does eat, he does not pay the principal plus a fifth back, because he can always say, I'm a kohen, and therefore, out of the safek, you can't take his money away. Ve'enu cholek al hagoren, he does not get a portion of truma from the granary. Maybe he's not a kohen. U'mocher ha'truma v'adamim shalom. But you can't force him to give away his truma, because he could say, I'm a kohen, but he can't eat it, so he's stuck. So what does he do? He sells his truma and gets to keep the money, because again, you can't take it away from him, safek, maybe he is a kohen. Ve'eino cholek b'kodshei ha-mikdash. He does not get to partake of the dividing up of the things of the temple, which would go out to the kohanim, like the skins of the sacrifices, because they'll tell him, go bring us a proof that you're a kohen, and then you can take. Excuse me. Ve'im nosnin lo es hakodshim, ve'im motzim es shalom miyado. Same din. We don't give him holy sacrifices to do, because he's perhaps not a kohen and he can't do them and he can't eat them. But we wouldn't take his, let's say for example, his bechor, the firstborn of his animal, away from him, because perhaps he is a kohen, so it's his. Pater min izro. V'halachayim, v'akeva. These parts of the animal which is supposed to give to a kohen, he does not have to give, because he can say, I'm a kohen. U'b'choro yiyeroi ad shistayev. If he does have a b'chor, so he gets to keep it, because monetarily we can't take it away from him, but he's not allowed to eat it, because maybe he's not a kohen. So what does he do? He leaves it out to pasture until it gets a mum, until it gets a blemish, then it's pasul, and then anyone's allowed to eat it. V'nosnim alav chumre kohanim v'chumre yisraelim. We give him the stringencies of a kohen and the stringencies of Yisrael, as we said before, concerning the mincha sacrifice, that he would here do the kemitza, the taking a handful and sacrificing a handful of that flour like a Yisrael, and the rest he would burn, which is like a kohen, not like Yisrael, whereas the Yisrael's mincha, the rest of it would be eaten by the kohanim. Here it's burned like a kohen's mincha. Hayushnehem kohanim means over here, let's take the same case, but now the first father and the second father, safek whether he is the son of the first husband, or safek the son of the second husband, but they're both kohens. So either way, the guy's a kohen. Hu onen aleihem, vehem onenin alav. He is an onen for them, and they are an onen for him, which means they have this status of an onen which prevents them. This status of being, of perhaps this is his father, or perhaps this is their son, prevents them, makes them usher to eat in Kodshim. So even though he is a Kohen and he should be able to eat in Kodshim, and the fathers are for sure Kohanim, but since there's a suffix over here, a father-son relationship, because of that suffix, we will prevent them, tell them they should not be eating any Kodshim. Hu eino mitmalehem, vehem einan mitmayim lo. But he cannot become impure for them if the fathers are deceased, and they cannot become impure for him, because again, there's an isser for a kohen to become impure for someone who is not his family, and we have a suffix, maybe the son is not their son. Hu eno yoresh o son. He, the son, is not allowed to inherit these two fathers, because the actual sons who know their sons can always push him away and say, you're not our father's son, you're not our brother, you're the brother of the other guy. So therefore, since he's a safek, he doesn't get. They can both push him away, so he's not going to get any of the inheritance from either of the fathers. Aval hem yorshin oso, but the two fathers will inherit his money if he dies first, as is the din that the father inherits the son. So over here, there's no one to push off these two fathers. Rather, these two fathers just split it 50-50. Upatur al makaso va al klalaso shel ze v'shel ze. Normally, a child who hits the parent or curses the parent is chayiv misa, gets a death penalty. Over here, this son will not, if he hits the father or curses the father, he will not get a death penalty. Although the Rambam points out that's only true if he does this to one of the fathers. But if he did to both of the fathers at the same time, so then he would, because one of them was his father. Va'ole b'mishmaro shel ze v'shel ze. He gets to go serve in the temple during the Mishmar. The Mishmar was the allotted time of the different Kohanim, all had their different allotted times of service in the temple. So he goes during the allotted time of service of both of his fathers, he can go. Ve'eino cholek, but he does not get to partake of the things the Kohanim get to partake of, the foods, the skins of the animals, because they can always say, you don't belong to our Mishmar, you don't belong to our allotted time to be in the Mikdash, and therefore you don't get to take from the things that we are, as Kohanim, allowed to partake from. Im hayu shnehem b'mishmar echad, but what if both of these fathers, who he is a safek, which one he's from, if both of these men were from the same Mishmar, so then he belongs to that Mishmar Mimanav Shach. Either way, no matter who his father was, he belongs to that Mishmar. So if they were both part of the same Mishmar, no tal chelek echad, then he definitely gets a portion from that Mishmar, because he is part, he belongs to that Mishmar, either way you look at it. That's the end of Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Bet is going to talk about the ceremony of Chalitza. The ceremony of Chalitza, to talk about some of the halachas involved. The ceremony of Chalitza, if this guy does not want to do Yibum, and he rather prefers to do Chalitza, so the ceremony of Chalitza means that this woman, the widow of this dead husband, will come before the judges and before this man. She will untie his shoe and she will spit before him. That's what the Torah tells us. Now, the first Mishnah is going to discuss for us which type of shoe is a good shoe. Says the Mishnah Aleph in Perek Yud Beis. Mitzvah chalitza b'shlosha dayanim, fafilu shloshtam hediotos. The Mishnah starts off by telling us this mitzvah chalitza has to be done in front of three judges, but these three judges don't have to be what we normally would understand as experts and judges. Rather, they can be anybody. The Bar Tanur points out for us over here that that the reason they're called judges is because they have to know how to read out certain portions of the Torah which relate to the chalitza ceremony. And that's why they're called the Anim, because they have to know how to read. It also points out to us that there actually have to be two more people for a total of five in order to lifarsume milsa, to make the thing public and well known that chalitza was done. So these extra two guys can be anybody, even two guys who do not know how to read that parsha of the Torah. Chaltze b'min al chalitza sekshera. If the type of a shoe that the chalitza was done was a minal, which we're told is a soft type of a leather, so then that type of a chalitza was kosher. Important to point out over here that the word na'al of a shoe only ever means something made of leather, and it has to be something which is protects the foot. So over here, this thing, a min'al, is a soft leather. Now, it's kosher bidi evit, but l'chadchila, as your first choice, they don't want you using soft leather. The reason is because soft leather can rip, and you can still wear it. But once it's ripped, it's pasul. Therefore, we don't want you using a minal even when it's a kosher one, which is not ripped, because we don't want to ever run into a situation where a guy's using a ripped one, because it will be pasul. But over here, he shouldn't do it lechatchila, but if he did it, then the chalitza is kosher. But on peeling, chalitza sepsula. On peeling are types of shoes that were made out of cloth or wool, but they weren't made out of leather. And again, then the chalitz is possible. We need a shoe. The definition of a shoe is something made out of leather. B'sandal sheishlo akev kasher. A sandal which has a heel to it, that's kosher. And a sandal, this type of a shoe called a sandal, that is the best type of shoe to use because the leather is hard. And therefore, if it cracks or gets broken, there's no way to continue to wear it. Therefore, we're not worried about the concern. Perhaps it's a ripped or cracked sandal and isn't a good shoe. Anytime you see a sandal on this guy's foot, it's always going to be a good shoe and there's no way it could be cracked. So therefore, the chatchila, this is the right shoe to take, but it has to have a heel to it, and then it's kosher. Ein lo akev pasul, if it doesn't have this proper heel and extend all the way up the back of the foot like that, then it's going to be pasul. It's not a good shoe. It doesn't protect the foot. Min ha'arkuva ulamata chalitzasa ksheira. Now, the way they used to have shoes is that the laces used to wrap up around the leg. The main part of chalitza is the undoing of these laces. The arkuva over here is the knee. So if the laces that she's undoing were the laces which were from the knee and down, then it's a good chalitza. If it's min ha'arkuva ulamala, chalitza sapsula. If you're undoing the laces actually go above the knee, then the chalitza is pasul. The reason is because the Torah tells us she has to do this chalitza and take his shoe off me'al raglo, from off of his regel, his leg. The regel is from the knee down. If she's undoing it above the knee, that does not fulfill the need in the pasuk to take it off of his leg. Over here, the chalitza has to be done from below the knee. So that's why a shoe which ties up too high above the knee would not be a good chalitza. That is the end of Mishnah Aleph.